Greetings, gentlemen. I'm sure by now many of you have heard that there's an OF star that has managed to copulate with 100 men in one day. I thus have dubbed her the 100-man woman. Apparently, she has long-term goals of copulating with 1,000 men in one day. Now, this has been making the rounds. Her name is Lily Phillips. She comes from the UK. And you probably heard all the usual takes, and some of those takes will be my takes. But I'd like to add some additional information to the discussion. Yes, I want to inject other things. Now, there are a couple things about this woman people just don't know. One of them is that she comes from money. She lives in an area of London called Southampton, which is a very wealthy place. You can only live there if you have a lot of money. So she didn't do this for money. She's not on OF to make money either. I'm pretty sure she gets tons and tons of money from her father. How do we know this? She lives in Southampton, London. She lives in a very posh flat, and she's only 23. She's a student. So how could she afford such a place? Clearly her parents, specifically her father, have given her a ton of money. So she's done this, of course, for the attention, for the thrill, so to speak. And this ties into something else that I don't see a lot of people talking about. And a lot of people are going to say, well, the reason why she did this is because we live in degenerate times, or she grew up in a fatherless home. Well, no, evidently not. She has both parents. Her father is still there. Allegedly, they approve of this. And so the broken home, father's not there argument doesn't really have much traction, although you could argue that the parents might have been neglectful to some degree, or that the father was absent somehow. Now, these are all possibilities, obviously. But what makes the most sense to me, the most reasonable explanation for this type of behavior, goes back, many of you don't want to hear it, many of you do want to hear it, to genes. Because if her parents, in actuality, are not disapproving of this, or basically think it's okay, then that says a lot. She is a byproduct of the genes of her mother and her father. And I might have talked about this a while ago, but there's a variant of a gene in human beings that might predispose certain individuals to this type of behavior. It's sometimes incorrectly referred to as the promiscuity gene. And I say incorrectly because it's not far from the truth, but we'll get into it in a bit. Now, this gene is called the DRD4 gene. And it is associated with a greater likelihood of carnal promiscuity. And how it works is that the D4 receptor, the dopamine receptor, is encoded by this DRD4 gene. And it binds the dopamine, and then it transmits the signal into the cells. Now, there's a variant of this gene, because there are always different variants of different genes, called the 7R plus version. And it basically changes the way the dopamine receptor works. And so the altered receptors that normally are encoded by these variants bind dopamine less efficiently compared to the more common 4R version. And as a consequence, people with a 7R plus version get less dopamine fed to their brain. And so they require more dopamine to feel that kick. And what's been observed with people with a 7R plus variant is that as a result of requiring higher levels of dopamine to achieve the same positive or good feeling vibe that people normally have, they tend to engage in risky behavior. Not just carnal behavior, although that's a big part of it, but risky behavior in general, like parachuting, gambling, that sort of thing. Though, as I said, the notion of this gene being a promiscuity gene is not all too far from the truth, because it's definitely been found in individuals who display a very high degree of sociosexuality. So my argument here is pretty simple. If I had to guess, this woman probably has the 7R plus variant of the DRD4 gene. She probably got this variant from one of her parents, hence the continuity, hence the possibility that her parents are not particularly disapproving of her actions. And this has all the telltale signs of A, very high degree of sociosexuality, and B, a willingness to take massive risks. Not because it's necessary in some traditional sense, because like I said, she has plenty of money. She lives in a large posh apartment in Southampton, London. She would have been fine without doing this, but rather, her genetic predisposition pushes her in this direction. So this is a factor that I don't see a lot of people who are talking about the 100-man woman refer to or talk about, because genes always play a role in our behavior. And when you see people with very high degrees of sociosexuality, be they men or women, there's going to be some component there that is genetic. I mean, arguably, You can make the same argument for single mothers, especially multiple generations of single mothers. There's probably a genetic factor there that leads to these types of behaviors that almost certainly results in a repetition of certain behaviors. Now, that doesn't mean that the environment is unimportant or makes no contribution whatsoever. It does. Because, for example, if we look at the single mother epidemic, then there was a time when single motherhood was very rare because there were social conventions that reinforced certain rules. And so you had an environmental factor that was weighing in against the very strong genetic proclivities that certain individuals have, which is why single motherhood was a rare phenomenon in the past, because it simply wasn't permitted. So, yes, robust environmental interventions can prevent things such as single motherhood, or in the case of Lily Phillips, probably would serve to prevent crazy stunts like this, because a lot of this does have to do with permissibility. Now, people will argue, of course, that she's not harming anyone, and that's not entirely true. If you look at the documentary that covers what she did in her stunt, she apparently didn't know that when men blow their load in her mouth, that runs the risk of transmitting certain types of illnesses related to the carnal. She didn't know that. So the question of whether this is harmful or not, well, it probably is harmful in a very physiological way, potentially. 100 guys, none of them were tested, apparently, in terms of STDs. And of course, what really begs the question here at the end of the day is whether or not she benefits from this. Well, nominally she does. She's obviously gained more prominence by doing this, and she's obviously become more famous in terms of e-fame. People know about her. I'm talking about her on YouTube. Other people have talked about her on YouTube. But if you think about it long-term, what is the long-term benefit? As I said, the 100-man woman has vowed to make herself a 1,000-man woman. And the question here is, what kind of benefit is that long-term? Because eventually, when the juice runs out, so to speak, when the energy runs out, and when the looks run out in her 30s or 40s or whenever, you really have to ask that question, what sane man will want to marry somebody like this? Now, there is something called juggernaut law, which means juggernaut law would apply. Someone, after her having copulated with tens and tens of thousands of men, would probably still be willing to marry her and partner up with her. But the real question is, given her class, her social status, her money, would she want to partner up with such a juggernaut law-induced simp of sorts? Probably not at the end of the day. And herein lies the rub. The question we need to ask ourselves is, yes, people exist with certain genetic proclivities, things like this, but is it of benefit to them in the long term to allow them, not in terms of legality, but in terms of social permissiveness and cultural permissiveness, to do these things? Because frankly, I don't see the long-term benefit on a macroscopic scale, and even on an individualistic level, this Lily Phillips person is not going to benefit from having copulated with thousands and thousands of men. There's simply no benefit to it, other than the immediate high she might get. But usually when we think about long-term stable social structures, we don't really plan things based on the immediate high. We plan things on long-term prospects of how things are going to work out, which is why back in the day, and this isn't even a moral perspective, at least for me, pragmatically speaking, you had certain rules in place that would prevent the worst types of behavior. And this, of course, is some of the worst behavior you can display because this doesn't benefit anyone, and it's harmful in the long run to the individual woman and society at large, because in contrast to what a lot of people argue, this does actually lead to harm. It could harm her, it could harm the thousands of men that she's copulating with, and we don't know the other long-term consequences. So the question here is, should we be permitting this sort of thing? We don't need to make it illegal, but ideally we would need some sort of cultural or social barrier or some sort of instance that would prevent people from doing this sort of thing, and arguably both men and women, because the foundation of a decently formulated society that is relatively stable is not boinking thousands of people nonstop to get your rocks off. And again, for me, this is not a moral statement. This is just a pragmatic observation. As I said before, it's also very important to understand the genetic differences between people and why some people are driven to this sort of behavior, because it doesn't come from nowhere. Most people wouldn't do this, whether they're men or women. Only by understanding the fact that we are genetically distinct at times Can we understand how to properly deal with such behaviors? Because ultimately, I think this sort of thing needs to be cut down on. It's not really helpful to anyone, least of all the women participating in this sort of thing. You might have seen the documentary that she cries at the end and claims it's because she wasn't able to satisfy all the men. Who knows if that's really true? Probably not. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many, many special thanks to my beloved patrons on Patreon. Thank you so much, as well as my very generous donors on PayPal. You guys are absolutely incredible. You make this channel possible. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And if you can leave a like, comment, share, and subscribe, it'd be much appreciated. Hit the bell icon to be informed of my videos. It'd be appreciated as well. And if I'm still alive, I'll check you out next time. Until then, may the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.